Hysteria is brought to you by Books. This Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why you should send her farm fresh flowers from Books. That's short for bouquets.
And right now, you can get 25% off your entire Books purchase. Here's why everyone likes the Books company. Books is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano,
which I love. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Books is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now. And with 20% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. Erin, I love my Books. I love a flower that lasts forever, and my Books arrangements really do last a full solid week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have some sitting on my kitchen table right now, mm-hmm. and they've been there for several days, and usually when I buy them at, like, the grocery store, they're sort of, like, starting to crap
fade
out pretty quickly. Yep. Not with Books. They stick around. They look beautiful. I like how they kind of slowly open up and become even more beautiful as they sit on your, you know, wherever.
Absolutely,
you display them.
Because they're that fresh. So go to Books.com and use promo code Hysteria for 25% off. That's Books.com, promo code Hysteria. Books, promo code Hysteria.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, I can't believe I've never asked you this before.
What?
Should Ross and Rachel have ended up together?
Absolutely. What
really?
Was I waiting for that whole time?
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't tell me. I feel like maybe you were holding something back and I don't know. Fun episode today. I feel like we hold off talking about Kate Middleton for as long as physically possible.
But we had to check in on her again.
Before the dam breaks and we just are like, we've got opinions on everything in the world, the meaningless world of the British monarchy and adjacent figures to the British monarchy. But we also have a great interview with Brandi Zadrozny of NBC News.
So fun.
So fun. We're big fans of her and her
yes.
work. It's really fun to listen to her talk about how she went from being somebody who covered weird internet stuff
yep.
to mainstream politics.
Yes.
Yeah. Now they're the same.
And what else? We talk about, we get into the new docuseries, Quiet on Set, about child stars at Nickelodeon, which was deeply disturbing, but also interesting.
Mm-hmm. Deeply disturbing, but also interesting, which is pretty much the show's wheelhouse.
It's what we like. It's what we do.
We also talk about the Ohio primary that
yep.
happened. So now we know who is going to be competing as a Republican in the fall. And spoiler alert, he's crazy. We also talk a little bit about the Mifepristone case that is going to be heard mm-hmm. before the Supreme Court next week.
Yikes.
Before our next episode comes out. And a couple other things when it comes to reproductive justice and reproductive choice. So, super fun show. And then, you know, the dam breaks and we talk about Kate Middleton and Meghan
yeah.
Markle and all that stuff. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is still down the Kate Middleton rabbit hole. It's right? That was a double.
Obviously. I mean, who even knows at this point, Erin? What can we trust? Even, what is it? Some of the biggest news outlets in Europe are now saying that the palace is no longer a reliable source of information. I feel like that was probably true for a while. But who can we trust?
I don't know. The Catholic Church? All right. Let's get into some news headlines. The Ohio Republican Senate primary occurred. Occurred is not an action verb, but I feel like the primary was not an action. It was a thing that just happened. The winner of the Ohio Republican Senate primary is a certified crazy man.
Total nut.
Absolute crazy man named Bernie Moreno, former used car salesman. I'm not making that up. Used car salesman who was like, you know what? I've got an agenda to
sell. It's my time to shine.
Yes, exactly. He was endorsed by Donald Trump. He beat out two more establishment Ohio Republicans, Matt Dolan and Frank LaRose. Matt Dolan is a state senator. Frank LaRose, the secretary of state, who had spent the last couple of years just really lighting his reputation on fire by trying to undermine democracy in the state of Ohio. He was sort of like the front man in fighting against the abortion ballot measure last year. A very fuck around, find out kind of political story. Frank LaRose, he's... People don't like him anymore. People don't like him. Bernie Moreno got more votes than the next two candidates combined. He got 50.45%. Not sure where it's settled at this point. I'm sure it's going to move a little bit as they count absentee ballots.
So I guess the pundits that were saying the race was a toss-up, not exactly on the money.
Yeah, and I also want to draw attention to the fact that state-level polling is, like, not super... We don't have it down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, up in the run-up to the primary, it was, yes, supposed to be neck and neck between Moreno and the two other establishment candidates, and it just wasn't. The race was called, like, an hour after the polls closed on Tuesday night, and it was very clear. Now, Moreno winning is the best possible outcome for Democrats who— really desperately want to hang on to Sherrod Brown's seat. Nicest guy in the Senate, I've heard.
Nicest guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you know him.
I've met him. I don't know him, but I've met him.
He's a really nice guy.
Very friendly.
Yeah, we need to hang on to that seat. And I think that the likelihood that we will hang on to it as Democrats is increased by the fact that the craziest possible nominee is moving on to the general election. But at the same time, the craziest possible nominee is moving on to the general election. So
right. We never know. I mean, you assume and you hope that it helps Sherrod Brown because this guy is just so extreme. I mean, he's like absolutely 100% pro-life with no exceptions, supports a national abortion ban. Like his positions are pretty extreme on things that most people aren't feeling so extreme on. But like also, Aaron, why do they keep just nominating deeply bad people? Like, just deeply bad. Moreno, I was, of course, as we do, go down a little Google hole and see, well, they're bad, but how bad? Here's how bad. Moreno refused to pay his employees the overtime they'd earned, deliberately shredding evidence he was legally required to keep to get out of paying them, and was found liable for wage theft by a jury, forcing him to pay over $400,000 in damages to employees. Aaron, does he sound like anyone you know? Who doesn't like to pay their employees and tries to scam out on people?
I mean, could be a lot of people, but I think I know who you're referring to.
Donald J. Donald J., the man who can't pay his bond.
Yeah, the man who can't find a friend to help him pay his bond at this point. I mean, I'm sure that there are some phone calls happening as we speak, some friend-making phone calls, perhaps overseas, but we'll see how that all shakes out. and I think right now it's important to note that Republicans, as difficult as it is for them to stop talking about abortion when it is a losing issue for them, are now kind of trying to whitewash their histories on abortion. And Moreno, you know, again, like you said, supports a no exceptions abortion ban, but now is saying that actually he supports a 15-week abortion ban. I just want to say, 15 weeks, first of all, we've talked about on the show, arbitrary.
Totally.
Arbitrary cutoff. Second of all, I think that people who have been pregnant, especially recently pregnant, are very aware of the fact that with pregnancy, something can go wrong literally at any time. Something catastrophic. And it sucks because, like, when you're in pregnancy, you're just, like, anxious for 9 months. Mm-hmm. It's not a soft focus stroll through a lavender field. It is very filled with anxiety because every single time you go to the doctor, they could find something wrong and it could be like, oh, your blood pressure is elevated. We got to get you into the hospital. Save your life. Get your baby out now. Oh, there's something wrong with the structure of your baby's internal organs there that is incompatible with life. There's something going on with the baby's brain. There's something going on with the baby's skeletal system. These are things that you cannot know.
Right.
Until you hit like 20 weeks plus, right? So 15 weeks, like you're a 24-week pregnant person. You go in for a growth scan and they find something catastrophically wrong, under a 15-week ban, it doesn't matter where you live. Like, you're just going to have to carry that non-viable fetus until you give birth to it at term, have to go through childbirth, and then watch your baby die. Like, that's what a 15-week ban is. And I refuse to allow or give any space to Republicans who are trying to imply that that is some kind of moderate position.
Right.
It is fucking creepy that the government wants to interfere with that decision at
all.
It's
also just based on this deranged premise that they hold, that women are just rolling around, waking up one morning, being like, you know what? I've had enough of this pregnancy. I'm 20 weeks pregnant. I'm just going to go get an abortion. Like, it is the most profoundly corrupt and cynical and disgusting foundation for the thoughts that they want to make policy.
I just want to know, what do they think happens with a late-term abortion? How do they think the baby comes out? Because it doesn't get magicked out of there. You still have to deliver the child.
Right.
So, like, do they think that you're like, you know what? I don't want to be pregnant anymore, but I definitely want to go through childbirth, and I don't want to have a baby on the other side. Worst of both worlds. Please give it to me. And then what doctor in their right mind would be like, this seems like something that a sane person is doing. I'm going to do this for you. It is like just the government. Most doctors in almost every discipline are capable of collaborating with their patients and making ethical decisions based on guidelines set by their professional organizations and ethics set out by the profession of being a physician. So, like, why is the government and a bunch of guys who couldn't find the clitoris with a map and a flashlight, why are a bunch of those guys making rules about when and anyway, Bernie Moreno, used car salesman, could be a senator who tips the balance, makes it so it's impossible for, if Joe Biden gets reelected, make it so it's pretty much impossible for him to get anybody appointed to federal judgeships. Like, Ohio, we know that you got it in you.
You have it in you.
You've had it in you for like, you've been voting like champions for like a year. And I think that most of the champion voters were not, you know, voting in the Republican primary because it's a closed primary in Ohio. We really need you to make sure that it doesn't get just stunk up this fall. Give Trump voters wrong directions to the polls. Tell them that they're spread misinformation. No, I'm just kidding. But it's really important for Ohio voters to prove that they are who we know that they can be and not let this guy join the Senate.
Protect abortion.
Protect abortion. Also protect the Senate.
That too. All the above.
Alyssa,
all the above.
The Senate used to be like the respectable,
I know,
respectable one, where they'd look down on the House and be like, look at these yahoos.
Look at these shenanigans.
Yeah, and the shenanigans have spread to the upper chamber.
Yeah, they're contagious.
The shenanigans, yes, exactly. They've got a case of the shenanigans, and it's spreading. But don't let Bernie Moreno in. Okay, let's talk a little bit. Oh, speaking of abortion.
Oh, bully.
Okay, so next Tuesday, it's already that time of year.
Guess so. Where you sit on pins and needles, waiting for SCOTUS.
There is not a anti-anxiety medication strong enough.
No.
Okay, so next Tuesday, the Supreme Court is slated to hear the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, a made-up organization. Just want to, every time we talk about it, it's a made-up organization.
Yeah.
The Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine versus the FDA, which is trying to stop the FDA's approval of the use of mifepristone, which, as our listeners know, is the first drug typically used in the U.S. during a medication abortion. So with that case, just, you know, arguments are about to be heard. It's coming up. Guttmacher Institute has reaffirmed that Americans are very dependent on abortion drugs, and they are more popular than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that if they were that dangerous, there would just be women dying left and right from abortion drugs. There is not, because they are safer than Tylenol. But anyway, new research released this week revealed that 2/3 of abortions in the U.S. are done via medication. Now, this information that we have is only abortions that took place within the medical system that are reported to, you know, information gathering entities like Guttmacher, which, like, if you live in Texas and you got abortion pills by mail, you're not part of this stat. So it is probably much more than the 63% of all abortions that are being performed using medication. It's a 10% increase from 2020. Alyssa, what do you make of this pair of stories? Supreme Court about to hear the Mifepristone challenge. Yeah,
it's all hanging in the balance. That's how it feels. It's all hanging in the balance. Every vote we have to cast matters. Just does. Every single one.
Yeah. I mean, if medication abortion becomes illegal or becomes more difficult to obtain in other countries, there is another way to do medication abortion that it still works, but it's like less effective. I don't know. Do you think that anti-choice people now are just trying to like inconvenience women so much that they're like,
fine. I'm crying uncle. Okay. I'll have babies. No, it's like, Erin, we've always said, as long as we've known each other, as long as you've been writing about this, they were always going to come for the medication abortion because they can't make theater of it. You know, they love protesting clinics. And if people don't have to go to clinics for abortions, they don't get the theater that they're hoping for. And, you know, right now, 40% of facilities known to provide abortion care offered only medication abortion. And so these people are like, this is their final frontier. It's like their fucking manifest destiny. They will not stop. And it's all bad faith. It's all, you know, it's really depressing.
Yeah, they don't have a place to protest in front of because there's too many places that people can get the abortion pill. Like in 2021, the FDA lifted the requirement that the first dose of the abortion pill be administered in person, which was like, so I had an abortion that way, and you literally, prior to 2021, and you literally were just at the doctor, and they, like, hand you the pills, and they're like, all right, take them, and then you just take them, and then you go home, and you take the other ones. And, like, I remember thinking, like, this is so weird. I have never been prescribed anything before in my life where they're like, you got to take it now in front of me.
Let me see you take it.
It was really, like, patronizing, but they were just following FDA requirements. But it just, it was like, okay, this is a weird enough experience.
It's literally how medicine was administered. If you watch, do you remember the movie Girl Interrupted?
Yes.
They all go up to the window. You have to take the medicine. You show underneath your tongue, make sure it's, you know, you've took it all. And then you go on, literally how I administer medicine to my cats. But but no, that is, you know, and in that case, they're just doing it so they can, because it's not because they don't trust you. They just, it's what they have to do to be able to get you the medicine. But
yeah, but now you can get it from a pharmacy.
Yeah, and just go home. Put your sweats on. Get ready.
You can get it mailed to you. Even if you live in a state where it is not legal, you can get it mailed to you. And there are ways to do that. But yeah, I mean, this is like 2/3 of abortions. And it allows, and it also allows the people who choose this to do it within the privacy of their own home.
Right. Like, as you should be able to.
Yeah. Like, what if you could get your appendix out by just like taking a pill that would dissolve your appendix? Would people be like, no, I want to go to the doctor?
No. And,
like, I mean, there are benefits to a surgical abortion, and in some cases, it's more appropriate than a medication abortion. But I'm just saying, like, given the option, wouldn't you prefer to just, like, do it at home in private with your hot water bottle and your Netflix queue? And, like,
100%.
Yeah. So I'm going to be waiting with bated breath for this dumb fucking argument in front of the Supreme Court where facts don't matter. That's one thing I would want to point out. There's going to be a bunch of medical falsehoods spouted before the Supreme Court. But facts don't matter to the Supreme Court because nobody can hold them accountable because the geniuses who made our country up did not build in any accountability for the Supreme Court into the Constitution because they just assumed people would be good.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yikes.
Idiots.
Really paying the price now.
Maybe it wasn't a good idea. Guys. Okay. So, Alyssa, we've got a story of a conscience clause that ends well. Can you fill us in?
Ish.
Well-ish.
Okay. Well-ish. Because okay. Here's the thing. You know, it's funny. The news is so bad, Erin, that when you read a story that has like a positive outcome, you're like, that was great. And then you think about it.
It's like when somebody gets injured at work and doesn't have insurance, and it's like they have like $150,000 in medical bills, and so a GoFundMe comes and
exactly
saves them.
Exactly,
and you're like, okay, but like they shouldn't have had to have that.
They shouldn't have had to. They shouldn't have had to endure the trauma and stress of not knowing how help was going to come. Like mm-hmm. they are just reliant on the good people in their network to help them out, which is sort of what's going on here. So a woman in Minnesota who was denied emergency contraception has won her appeal. This week, yes, the pharmacist denied her prescription due to personal reasons in 2019. This was deemed discrimination under the state's Human Rights Act. Now, while this is great news that she won her appeal, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. And she won her appeal, but what she wanted was Plan B 5 years ago. You know, like mm-hmm. that is, you know, that is the bottom line. And the interesting thing about this, which I couldn't really find a lot of information on, but part of the conscience clause is that it is largely reliable, or it is largely incumbent upon employers to make sure that, say, if a pharmacist does not want to administer mifepristone, there is a, for ethical or religious reasons, there is someone on standby who can do it. That mm-hmm. was not the case in this instance. And so, you know, I just wanted to flag this story because, according to Guttmacher, over 21 bills were introduced in state houses in 2023. Among the most restrictive, a new Montana law, yes, law, because it was passed, provides extreme legal protections to healthcare practitioners who want to refuse prescriptions for medical marijuana, medically assisted death, gender-affirming care, reproductive health care, or basically anything that doesn't jive with their ethical beliefs.
Okay, question. Mm-hmm. If I don't think that old men should be fucking, can I refuse to administer Viagra? Look, old sperm is very dangerous. Can I just say that? Women who become impregnated with the sperm of men over 35 have a heightened risk of preeclampsia and several other complications of pregnancy because of the old sperm.
Well, you know what?
Ethically opposed.
I would love to get into this because uh-huh. I would love for us to be able to do a little test case to find someone who was willing to say that and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like an old school Ruth Bader Ginsburg style legal mamba.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of her cases when she was a civil rights attorney for the ACLU, she would find men that had been wronged by gender specific laws, and she would bring them as plaintiffs.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so let's find a guy who wants to have a boner enough to get a prescription, but not so badly that he's going to be really, really upset when he isn't allowed to take his prescription home.
Right.
That's our plaintiff. It's going to be weird. America's going to
be weird,
but let's get into it. America's going to be thinking about his dick a lot, but as long as he's securing himself, let's see.
Good for the goose is good for the gander.
I'm frankly tired of talking about uteruses when it comes to laws governing reproductive organs. I want a cock case. I want a case that focuses on the sperm. I want to talk about that because dicks are funny and uteruses are dangerous.
Apparently.
So, yeah.
Apparently. Okay. So, yeah, but everyone should check out. This was interesting because I couldn't sleep last night, hot flash. And so I started trying to find out all the state's conscience clauses, like what, because they're not, it's not just a blanket law, like there are different versions of it, but almost, it is extremely hard to find a state that has no semblance of a conscience clause. So I encourage people to check out their state constitutions and see what's in there because it is, the list is really, really fucking long.
We need to start our own religion. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Okay. We've had this talk before. Let's get into it.
No, I know. But I'm gonna bring it up again because I keep thinking about it. And I feel like when I was actually religious, like a practicing Catholic, I believed less strongly in the fact that I was like eating Jesus's meat when I when I was like having communion. I believed in that less strongly. I was kind of like most Catholics. I was like, yeah, transubstantiation, sure. It's literally his like body and blood. That's fine. I don't know. Am I eating his, you know, rump roast of Christ? Whatever. I believed in that. I just didn't think about it too much, but I was like, sure. I believed in that less strongly than I believe that it is not the government's business to interfere with people's choices when it comes to their medical decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I believe in that so much more strongly than I think I ever believed in God. So why don't we just, can we make it a church?
Let's do it.
I mean, the church, what is it, Church of Satan?
I was going to say, we have found some fun churches online that we wouldn't mind being adjacent.
It's fun, but it will get you run out of a small town if you're wearing Church of Satan memorabilia. Although those people are super funny, and I love what they're doing in Iowa.
Enjoy yourselves.
Enjoy yourselves. But no, I feel like there are people that have sincerely held beliefs that don't rely on the belief in a supernatural being. So
yeah.
Like why does believing in a supernatural being mean that your belief matters more than mine? Like
exactly.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But again, facts don't matter in front of the Supreme Court because
not a lot of the time.
No, because there's no accountability. Oh, Olivia Rodrigo, somebody who Caroline chastised me for calling a nice young lady several times.
Why? Isn't she?
She is.
Is she
nice
not? Is she not a nice young lady?
Because it makes me sound old. But I think talking about Olivia Rodrigo at my age makes me sound old.
Okay.
It was like when middle-aged people talked about Fiona Apple back in the 90s. Ugh. When you're like, leave Fiona to us. Let us have her. We're not trying to take Olivia Rodrigo away from anybody. I'm just going to say that. I think Olivia Rodrigo, oh, what a great pop star. I'm so glad little girls and boys
totally
have her to look up to. I think she's amazing. She was dispensing emergency contraception on her tour and condoms at her tour stops. And has been speaking out about reproductive health access for literally years.
Yeah.
Like, you can find clips of her, like, from a few years ago when she was, like, I think legally a child talking about this stuff. Really, like, cool, gutsy, saying that, and her tour is called Guts, and talking about issues that other pop stars are not as, like, outspoken about, and she's just like fucking awesome. But she was handing out condoms and Plan B at shows, and she ran afoul of some anti-choice advocates when she did it in St. Louis. Missouri has a near total abortion ban, which has nothing to do with Plan B because Plan B is not an abortifacient. It's emergency contraception. People got mad at her, and so now she is not doing it anymore.
Though I feel like mostly they just scared the shit out of her managers, and now they're like, girl, can you please? We can't take the people coming into our DMs. Can we just not do this?
Yeah, it's disappointing, though, because I feel like somebody like the Olivia Rodrigo machine,
mm-hmm.
all the people around her and herself and whatever, everybody who makes the magic happen, I think it's a powerful enough machine that they should just be like, we're still going to
fuck off.
Do it.
Yes.
Sue us, guys.
Logan Royett, fuck off. Mm-hmm. But also, Aaron, I just feel like, these people just keep telling on themselves, right? They're like, no, 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 no abortion. Abortion's killing, blah, blah, blah. But then they also don't want to give you any way to just not get pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, they want us to not have any way to not get pregnant except encourage young men to be complete shitheads so that women don't want to have sex with them anymore. Which is great. Actually, I think it's turning out to be great birth control. The birth rate among teenagers in the U.S. and among women in their 20s is falling and has been falling for quite some time. I actually think the only demographic where it's rising are women over 35 and women over 40. Because, and who wants to let a guy under 30 knock him up? Sounds terrible. But I think, I wish that I totally understand why somebody wouldn't want to necessarily engage with like a legal fight
right.
over this sort of thing. But I kind of am like, can I just be like the devil cartoon on the shoulder?
No, can you and I just show up with a rogue tent and set up, pitch a little tent?
Keep giving it away. Do it. Keep doing it. Do it. What are they going to do? Sue you?
Right.
They don't even have enough money yet left to donate to Donald Trump. His donations are like so in the tank because everybody is completely tapped out.
Well,
do they have?
It's what happens when you use all your money for your legal fees.
Eventually, Leonard Leo is going to run out of money. Just keep
that
just
guy
keep letting his people sue you. Come on.
Totally.
Future fucking guy, Leonard Leo.
Absolutely.
Oh. I did want to talk about the Nickelodeon documentary.
Yes, yes. Oh, Aaron, I have to tell you, when we were texting about this yesterday, I was like, I don't know if I have it in me. And then I watched the whole thing.
So for those of you who haven't been on the corner of TikTok that I am somehow on, the first few episodes of a new docuseries about Nickelodeon mm-hmm. and the quote-unquote the dark side of children's TV. It's called Quiet on Set, which is a great title.
Totally great title.
I was
title.
Thinking about it all day yesterday. It is like the perfect title. It premiered on Sunday, and it tells the story of how one particularly fucked up showrunner that shaped children's entertainment throughout the Y2K and early 2000s era named Dan Schneider really fucked up a lot of kids' lives.
Totally. And adult women.
And adult women's lives. Yeah, he was a terrible, terrible person who was basically given a blank check by Nickelodeon because he kept making hits.
Yep.
He kept making hits. And there were, at one point, two pedophiles and one pedophile-adjacent person employed by Nickelodeon at around the same time. These kids are supposed to be protected by laws that mandate that their parents be with them all the time, but the production sort of flouted the laws and just allowed kids to be alone with adults that they shouldn't have been alone with. Oh my God, Alyssa.
Aaron, okay, so on our text chain yesterday, I think Caroline was saying don't watch it before bed. Of course, I watched it before bed. What the fuck? So the thing that I thought was so interesting about this is that I am old enough that I kind of miss Nickelodeon. You know what I mean? Like, so many of these stories, I think, happened around between 2000 and 2004. And mm-hmm. I was, like, working on the Kerry campaign by then. So the only thing I really remembered is that Michelle Obama had appeared on one of the shows. I think she'd been on iCarly when we were in the White House.
Uh-huh.
But watching this, I didn't know anything. I knew who Amanda Bynes was. Like, I knew who people were. I couldn't believe. Aaron, there was a character on one of the shows called Lil Fetus. What?
Yeah.
Like,
Lil Fetus, a rapper. Okay, so this Dan Schneider, the documentary does a great job of
totally
kind of showcasing the scope. Because it wasn't just that, like, there were children who were preyed on. Like, there was this guy who was, like, a titular character in Drake and Josh, Drake mm-hmm. Bell, who was, like, repeatedly victimized. Repeatedly. Victimized, like, by a person who has been largely protected mm-hmm. by the Hollywood establishment. Yeah, it was just like really, really heartbreaking. So it talked about the sexual victimization mm-hmm. of children. But it also talked about like the just rampant sexism
totally.
On display. Rather than paying two female writers, individual writers, salaries, he forced them to
share,
work
split.
As writing partners,
yes. Well,
which is a thing that can happen if you have like a long-term writing partner in right. Hollywood and you get hired on a show as like a package deal. And so you don't get paid as if you were just like an individual writer, you're a writing team.
Right.
It's kind of weird, but it's like a way for a show to get more people on a writing staff without
right.
having to pay the rate.
But in this case, they only made the women do that.
They only made the women
men were all paid as individuals. The women had been on there for seasons, and what the fuck?
And one of the women who was on the team, like, endangered her entire writing career
yes.
by taking legal action against the show when she found this out. And the WGA was like, whoa, 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 they can't do this. Like,
mm-hmm.
it she hoped that people would learn from this, and then they didn't. And then also, Dan Schneider was, like, racist.
So racist.
Like, all like there was this adult who used to be a child actor on All That, which I couldn't watch because where I lived, we couldn't get cable TV because right. it was too rural. But when we went to my cousin's house, we would watch All That. And he was talking about how he was always being put in like leotards.
Yes. Yes. And that looked like, and one of the leotards and one of the characters he played, each shoulder had like a penis with balls. Like it was
a nose, but it looked like
but
a
But that's
penis
not
with
what
balls.
It looked like. I mean, it yeah. was this, I think that I did not realize until I watched this documentary by Mary Robertson, who also did the Britney docs that we all loved. That how sexually explicit, like the coded sort of sexual innuendo in so many of the shows and skits. It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was really gross. And, you know, I remember being a kid and seeing like Ren and Stimpy mm-hmm. sometimes and being like, this is a weird show. Well, Ren and Stimpy was probably like the healthiest
like the
thing.
Jetsons by comparison.
It was Leave It to Beaver of the Nickelodeon universe. Well, and it's really
the thing that was so, I think, that made me so sad, I guess, is how Dan Schneider and Brian Peck, you know, maniac, how they drove wedges between the child stars and their families, mm-hmm. how they worked to help them get emancipated so that they could then control them. And Drake Bell, the scene you and I were talking about this morning, the scene where his father talks about finding out what had been happening to him was like gut-wrenching beyond. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Drake Bell's parents were divorced and his father had been his manager. And when his father tried to interfere with Brian's creepy interest in Drake, Brian interfered in his relationship with his father and like, it just is so fucked up. Also, can I just say this? Let me couch it by saying this is my opinion.
Okay.
Throw Drake Bell's mom in jail. Holy shit.
Holy
Throw
shit.
Throw her in jail.
Uncool. Like,
uncool. She was like letting this kid, her child, like not be driven home after auditions and just stay at Brian.
Yeah,
Brian's
because
house.
She didn't want to make the drive because it was like From a half Orange hour, County. An hour. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That poor kid. I mean, the person, because Brian Peck had driven a wedge at that time between Drake and his father, it was actually Drake's girlfriend's mom
who
sussed out what was happening. And it took her like a minute.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Drake Bell's mom, straight to jail.
Yeah.
Directly to jail.
Not a fan.
That the documentary is a heavy watch.
But it's excellent.
But I would recommend anybody who was a kid during the 90s or mm-hmm. who has a kid and is like, you know, thinking about what media you want your kid to watch. I think that it's just a really – or if you have a kid and you're like, I think my kid wants to act. Mm-mm.
Record scratch. Watch this first.
No. Don't do it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, an interview with NBC News' Brandi Zadrozny. Hysteria is brought to you by Article. Article believes in delightful design for every home. And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs make furniture shopping simple. Article's team of designers are all about finding the perfect balance between style, price, and quality. They're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and looks good doing it. Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada. Plus, they won't leave you waiting around. You pick the delivery time, and they'll send you updates every step of the way. Article's knowledgeable customer care team is there when you need them to make sure your experience is smooth and stress-free.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/hysteria, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/hysteria for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. This episode is brought to you by IQBar. Power up your life with superior brain and body nutrition products from IQBar. Their plant protein bars are the perfect low-carb breakfast. Their IQ Mix Zero Sugar Hydration drinks replenish electrolytes. And their IQ Joe Mushroom Coffees will keep you focused all day long.
Start each day right with IQ Bars, brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all three. IQ Bar empowers doers with superior brain and body nutrition. All their products are entirely free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners. And today, Hysteria listeners get an exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping. Just text Hysteria to 64000.
One thing I love about IQ Bar is, first of all, right now it's really dry where I am.
Oh, okay.
It is hard for me to stay hydrated. I'll just be going through my day and I'll be like, why am I so like—
Parched.
I'm parched. I'm in a bad mood. I feel like I'm going to pass out. And it's, you got to drink some water. You got to stay hydrated. I really like their IQ Mix Zero Sugar hydration drinks because it allows me to rehydrate myself at a time when I feel like the atmosphere is trying to take all my moisture away.
Well, and sometimes you need more than just water.
Sometimes you need more than just water. I also love IQ bars because I love a portable breakfast.
I love a grab-and-go breakfast, no dishes.
Love something I can walk around holding and eating. I like something I can eat in my car without endangering the lives of me and every other motorist on the road. A breakfast burrito, not the safest thing to eat behind the wheel. IQ bar, go ahead and do it. Good for you, great ingredients, helps you stay focused and alert throughout the day, and and you don't have to dirty any dishes. Refuel smarter with IQ Bar's Ultimate Sampler Pack. That's 7 IQ Bars, 4 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks.
And now our special podcast listeners get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. To get your 20% off, just text Hysteria to 64000. Get your discount, text Hysteria to 64000. That's Hysteria to 64000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Hysteria is brought to you by Pretty Litter. We all want our cats healthy and happy because, of course, they make us happy. Not mine. She makes me sad all the time. No, I love her and she's great and super cute. But yes, cats make us happy sometimes. But since we're not mind readers, we don't always know when they're unwell. Keeping tabs on your cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell. Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust. Plus, the crystals last up to a month, which means less scooping and fewer trips to the garbage can. Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It changes colors to help monitor early signs of potential illness, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues. And Pretty Litter ships free right to my door in a small, lightweight bag.
Can I just say that I got my Pretty Litter during a time in my life when I am not changing the cat litter box? Because if you're
pregnant, you can't.
You're not supposed to change the cat litter box. So my husband gets the easiest job in the world because we just switched to Pretty Litter. And it is like so much better than the stuff we were using before. It's less dusty.
Yep.
It's less stinky. You don't have to change the whole thing as much. And I'm frankly a little mad. I guess we could just like keep getting it after the baby comes and stuff. But it's just like, yeah, sure. Now you get the easy version. You get to change cat litter on easy mode.
It's tough.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on my cat's health and keeps odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. Go to prettylitter.com/hysteria and use code hysteria to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/hysteria, code hysteria to save 20%. prettylitter.com/hysteria, code hysteria. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that truly wants to believe every Kate Middleton conspiracy on the internet.
Every single one.
Every single one. But knows the internet is a cesspool for misinformation. Maybe there's multiple universes and all of these things can be true at once. Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be great.
I love it. I'm loving this mess. Our guest today is a senior reporter at NBC News with an emphasis on misinformation and its relationship with politics and the internet. To read more of her work, go to NBCNews.com or just Google her. Brandi Zadrozny, welcome to Hysteria.
Thank you. Big fan of the pod.
Big fan of you. How
Seriously.
Are you?
Seriously.
Fine. Fine. We're all fine, right? Everyone's fine.
Uh-huh. Great. Uh-huh. Okay. So for people who are not already familiar with your work, can you give our listeners a little primer to your area of focus and how that became your beat?
Yeah, so I was a librarian, and then I made my way to the Daily Beast in a very weird way and became a reporter. Aaron, we worked together for a beautiful hot minute. And my beat was the internet, and it was just the weirdos on the internet. And it was a really fun beat where I got to report on, you know, Christian domestic discipline, which is when, you know, far-right Christians spank each other, and just, like, weirdos doing weird things, right? I did a lot of stuff on pickup artists, and suddenly in 2016, those weirdos became really politically important. They became, you know, people that possibly put Donald Trump into office. And so those weirdos even became even more important in 2020 when the anti-vaccine industry and the movement, which was a mostly online movement, came out and had a crazy effect on the world. And so now I'm somehow a political reporter because RFK Jr. is running for president. I did not have that on my bingo card. So all of the weirdos on the internet, that is my beat. And that sometimes means lots of different things.
Oh my goodness. What was your favorite rabbit hole? Like the one that you're like, these are weirdos and I cannot get enough of these weirdos.
I mean, I already mentioned it, but I truly did love the Christian domestic discipliners. The day that they had such a vibrant online community, and they had like just websites about themselves and forums, and were just so into it. And the day the story broke, they called it D-Day, and it was just it just rocked their world in this way that was probably my favorite as a journalist. I was like, I have power here. Like, this is kind of fun. But I think about them all the time.
No, I'm going can't. To.
No, now, you know that this is, we're going to have to link in bio to how people can find them. Brandy, what are some of the biggest patterns you're seeing in the propagating of misinformation on the internet? And can you give listeners an example of some of the wildest shit you've seen?
Yeah, well, okay, so I almost get tired of this beat sometimes when you talk about, you know, the patterns, because it's often so much of the same stuff, right? There is a liar. He's spreading lies on the internet, gets people to believe them and spread those lies to their people. And then the platforms are cesspools that just want you to click, 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 like you're in a casino, and spread those lies further. And then it jumps into the real world and somebody gets hurt. And it's over and over and over and over and over again. The liars sometimes change. Sometimes the lies change and the liars stay the same. But that's sort of how it works. There's a pipeline and it's the same almost every single time. The lies are the crazy things and the things that I really can't believe. Each time, you know, I see a new piece of misinformation, especially around COVID, I think is when it really started to get wild. The crazy things I think about are like people who thought that it would turn the COVID vaccine would turn them magnetic, mm-hmm. and so they would they put like. I have one of my profile pictures as this woman with spoons and forks.
Oh yes,
and magnets,
I remember
just
her.
Like all over her body, and it's like you can't believe that. Like there's no basis of there's no world in which that makes sense for you, right? And so stuff like that, I think all the misinformation around the COVID vaccine in particular, from tracking to you know stuff like that, I think. There's a lot of the health misinformation is the stuff that really makes me just agog in the things that sort of people believe, from people who drink their own urine to people who think that their body is riddled with parasites to people who burn off pieces of their body to, you know, cure a cancer that's not there. That sort of magical thinking is really wild to me with health misinformation.
First of all, we're all drinking somebody's pee. The earth is a closed system, right? Everything we're drinking has been pee at one point. But Brandy, what happened to the magnetic people? Where are they now? What are they doing?
They're there.
Are they still there?
They're there.
They don't listen. No one has to keep the same storyline forever. No one's going back to Magnet Lady, Sherry Tenpenny, right, and asking, like, wait a minute, you said this was magnets. It's clearly not. Like, you should answer for that problem. I just did this thing I hiked up a mountain with RFK for this story that I wrote, and I asked him, I was like, well, But you said that this vaccine, the MMR vaccine, had aluminum in it, and that's what gave people autism. But they took there was no aluminum in it when you said there was. And so there was no mercury. You're wrong there. And he was like, well, on to the next, basically. And it was like, but you have to answer for that wrongness, don't you? But that's the great thing about magical thinking. That's the great thing about being a misinformer. That's the great thing about being an anti-vaxxer and believing this stuff is you never have to explain. And it's a beautiful world if you can live in it. And that's why people stay there.
I have to tell you, Brandy, I did not think a lot of those people were real. And then I have an adjacency to one of them. A friend of mine in upstate New York, her neighbor built a fence when she found out that they had been vaccinated because she didn't want their DNA to mutate across the property line. So she built a fence.
What kind of fence?
A wooden picket fence. It's not going to protect from anything. It's like the wildest, dumbest thing.
You got to use copper. Copper for that. Copper's the only thing
exactly.
That's
going to work. Brandy, how do you think moms ended up falling down this alt-right pipeline?
I'm kind of obsessed with this because I feel like there, but for the grace of God, kind of I could have been one of those folks. I was in Vermont when I had my first baby. I was very crunchy. I, you know, read the Ina Mae Gaskin books. I got a midwife and a doula, and I watched The Business of Being Born, and I was like, this is the truth, obviously. And so, and like part of it is the truth, right? And that's what's so so beguiling about this sort of thing. You know, women are historically neglected and abused by the medical system. And so it makes sense for us to be looking for another way. And then this beautiful baby comes into the world, and it's like the anxiety that comes with that, with protecting this little being when you don't know what you're doing and you just want to do well and you want to protect this thing. I think that it makes total sense that moms with this anxiety, with this very selfward-looking moment in your life where you're looking at yourself and your baby, like it makes sense sort of that you might align with people on the internet or in political circles who say you and your family are the most important thing. Get the government out. Get experts out. Like, you know what you need. Your God and your body will tell you what to do. Like, those messages perfectly aligned for me. And so, like, I see a lot of women sort of get caught up in that aspect of it, the wellness aspect, the godliness, the spiritual, that conspirituality stuff. So it's a very, like, gooey Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. And I kind of swam in it for a minute and then luckily swam right out. But that makes a ton of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. It seems like talking about the moms, especially like during the time of pregnancy and birth, which is like a really vulnerable time anyway, there's something that happened to me when I had my first daughter where I was like, after she was born, I kind of like didn't care if people thought I was crazy or being mean or a bitch, as long as it was in the service of like protecting her. And there's this real, it seems like there's this real opportunity for people who are trying to sow disinformation during that time, because you're so vulnerable and you're like, I don't care about anything except this like mama bear instinct that I have. Like, I don't care if people think I'm insane. I don't care. I mean, and I wasn't like, you know, putting bleach up my asshole or anything like that. Not because I had a baby. I just do that anyway. But it was just, I think it's so interesting because now it's also like an isolating time. And so these women aren't necessarily, they're connecting with each other through like social media. So what role does like Instagram and Pinterest and other social media websites play in, I guess, the radicalizing of that like new crunchy mom demographic?
Yeah, I remember when I had my first, I got like one of those the covers for when you breastfeed. Mm-hmm. And then, but I was like, again in Vermont, and I was like, I wish somebody would come up to me when I'm breastfeeding and like, I'm not wearing a cover. And like, I was like, I'm not like that. Like, I'm not an antagonistic person, but I was like wishing someone would come up to me and say something just so I could fight back. it's a weird hormonal time.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, you know, there is definite, the mom groups that I belong to and that I've seen over the years as a reporter and as a mom myself, like, they're they are there when no one else is. They are there. Social media is there at 1 o'clock in the morning when you don't have a doctor to turn to because doctors are unavailable. Social media is there when you have what seems like a dumb question, right, that you don't want to ask out loud and that you're nervous about, or that you think the answer that you get from an expert will be one you don't like. Like this woman I wrote about who was something like 43 weeks pregnant and didn't want to go to the hospital, wanted to have her baby at home, knew if she went to the hospital that they would induce labor. So instead, she turned to the social media group to get the answer that she wanted. And, you know, like that was very sad. She lost her baby.
Oh, God.
Awful, awful. And then right when she lost her baby, the first thing she did was turn on Facebook in the hospital and go back to her group for comfort. Mm. So it really is like it's everything to some people. When I had a baby again, I was in Vermont. I didn't have any family. I was online all the time in Facebook groups, in mama forums. It's a lifeline, and it's unfortunately, and you can get really great information from them too, mm-hmm. but it's the problem that misinformation is so prevalent in it, and that can be really dangerous.
Mm-hmm. I've also noticed that there are huge gaps in care for women at really crucial moments in their lives. And one of them is having a baby, and another one is menopause. And I have seen a lot of stuff out there now. I think it's because I just turned 40 last year, even though I am not going through menopause. I'm like very pregnant. But I'm getting a lot of like menopause stuff. And some of it is like, oh, this is helpful. This is like community building. And some of it is like, this does not seem like it has a basis. In fact, have you noticed an upswing in the radicalization of perimenopausal and maybe menopausal women because the medical community doesn't really serve them well?
I've got to say, I have not noticed that, even though I'm 43, so I should be. I feel like that's the content that should be sent my way right now, maybe again because of my job. Like I'm still deep in the younger like mom group, so I'm just not getting that content. It would not surprise me, right? It wouldn't surprise me. I would like to think pie in the sky that menopausal women are older and wiser and we will just not fall for that.
Oh, well, deeply perimenopausal woman, age 48 right here. And I can tell you some of the stuff I get served on TikTok is crazy.
Like what?
It's like you're getting, so I'm pretty good at like trying to create my own algorithm so I don't get too much of this. But there is a lot of, if you're having hot flashes, it's probably because you got the vax.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. It's like there's a lot of, now most of it is largely helpful. I tend to only follow doctors and really take my information from there. But to be clear, the same as a new mom who cannot go to sleep and is just on the internet, when you're getting hot flashes at 2 a.m. and you can't go back to sleep, you're like, let's see what TikTok has to say.
Wow.
So I could see how that's the case.
But that's why I'd like, to that point, I'm so struck by the only seeming answer to this because platforms either can't or won't do something about, you know, the sort of rampant health misinformation, especially directed towards women on their platforms, is that the only answer is for doctors and healthcare professionals to have a second job mm-hmm. posting, right? Mm-hmm. When it's like I follow all kinds of health professionals and it's like, I just got done from a 24-hour shift on labor and delivery and now I'm going to make this video talking to you about the newest studies of the COVID vaccine. And I'm like, girl, get to sleep. Like, this is so not fair, but literally the only solution that I can see.
Mm-hmm. So, Brandy, one of the things that I have noticed is that RFK is making the rounds on all the wellness podcasts. It feels almost as if this is exclusively his tactic, his campaigning. How do you feel like extremist rhetoric is playing among women voters as we move into the 2024 election?
RFK. Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised and a little disappointed that he's sliding so seamlessly into the wellness space. It frustrates me as a person who cares, as a reporter and a person who cares about childhood vaccinations. I think they're really important. There is no other side. There is no debate. has never been. And I'm just frustrated at it. Unfortunately, people have a very short memory, and that's the world that we live in. I think that women are more important than they have been for a very long time politically, especially the ones in that, you know, came up in this like sort of alt-right pipeline. Many are running for office right now. Mm-hmm. They were very visible in organizing and at the Capitol on January 6th. They are here. And, you know, I think a lot in terms of their political power, in terms of this woman, Denise Aguilar. She's running for California State Assembly District 13. And that is, she's not going to win. It's a like very Democratic district, but she's running and she's getting out there and her message is getting out there. And she really came up in California in 2019 when they were doing away with religious exemptions for mm-hmm. vaccines in California after the Disney measles outbreak. So she came up, was a protester. She started this group called the Freedom Angels. She is now, Erin, to your point, the informed mama. Mm. She is a mama bear. She is fighting for your kids. And then a couple of years ago, after January 6th, I believe, she was in the Capitol at the time. She said she got maced at the Capitol. And she, and then afterwards, she came home and she started this group called Mamalisha. And they go into the desert and they learn survival skills. And if you look up, I think they still have a website, they're all holding like these AKs and like in the desert, like wearing thigh-high boots. It just sort of encapsulates. And she's very big on wellness. She, you know, there are supplements involved. Like she does.
I hope one of the supplements helps with chafing. If they're wearing thigh-high boots in the desert, they also should probably supply themselves with Vaseline.
Listen, it's all about survival. But is she going to win? Like, when we talk about political power and how that affects politics, do I think this woman is going to win her race? No. Do I think that she's promoting herself and making and empowering herself and her group to be more involved in these local races and be more politically minded? Yes, I do. And so that's sort of the thought I have in terms of politics. Yes, they are become women, especially on the right, guided by this woo, are becoming more politically important, I think.
Mm. I've also noticed that it sort of doesn't matter if somebody like her wins an election because there is a living to be made on getting a lot of attention.
How dare you?
I know. Does the attention economy, is there a way out of the cycle that we're in where it seems like there is a niche living to be made, like peddling disinformation and misinformation? What needs to happen in order for it to no longer be a lucrative path toward making a living for some of these people?
I feel like there's a pendulum swing and I'm waiting for it to happen and I'm not seeing it happen yet. Like kind of what happened with the MLM, right? Like industry. Like there has been a pendulum swing where now I feel like everybody sort of knows the dangers of MLMs, how they're not going to make you rich. And there's sort of a grossness involved with people who still sort of do that. People know what to look out for when someone comes in and says, hey, hun, on your Facebook profile. You're like, oh, no. I mean, I hope that the same thing would happen when it comes to, you know, wellness influencers on Instagram selling air purifiers or ionizers or grounders for your mattress, whatever it is. We are not there yet at all. It still seems like people think that this is a great idea, and it still seems to be lucrative. So I don't know when the end of it is, unless social media companies decide we don't like this kind of scammery happening on our platforms.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the blueprint of the way that the lie starts as just like a liar telling a lie, and then it jumps into real life, and then people get hurt. Can you explain how the blueprint worked in the case of the measles outbreak that is currently happening in Florida?
Oh, my gosh. Well, sure. It's COVID complicated everything because for a minute before COVID, the players were clear. I could give you the anti-vax movement, you know, in my hands and say, here are the major players. Here's how they're making money. It was a small but vocal effort. And now it is a large and vocal effort. In the case of the current measles outbreak in throughout the United States, but specifically Florida right now, what happened was people were generally getting measles vaccines for their children. COVID came. Everybody lost their minds. And all over the internet, from groups like RFK's Children's Health Defense and others, came and said the COVID vaccine is very, very, very dangerous. And they made a lot of people believe them because they were the people saying this in April of 2020, before a COVID vaccine was even on the market. They were saying there will be a COVID vaccine and it will kill you, it will harm you. And they have kept that lie going. And so many people bought that lie and were watching Dell Bigtree's The High Wire or, again, RFK's Children's Health Defense channels and videos. So many people are now engaged in that material that, like, Children's Health Defense called COVID our silver lining, because they literally said, we're going to take our big audience now and we're going to show them that vaccines for children are also unsafe. So they just moved their messaging, and that really worked. And so what happened is vaccine exemptions are at an all-time high throughout the country. Mm-hmm. There are pockets where children are very unprotected from the measles vaccines that are going. These same groups have dismantled laws in certain states that protected children, like Mississippi and West Virginia. They've chipped away at those protections. And so they've opened the possibility for measles to spread, because measles has always been there, just sort of waiting, and it will continue to do so. And in Florida particularly, Ron DeSantis appointed a surgeon general who was part of America's frontline doctors. America's frontline doctors were the wackadoos who stood in front of the Supreme Court steps and said COVID vaccines are going to kill everybody. Dr. Emanuel from Texas said that they were of the devil, and that it's just a wild group of folks. And at the time, we wrote about them saying, look at these wild group of folks who are selling supplements and are just wild people. And now one is the in charge of all of Florida's health. So it's no surprise when he says, oh, you're fine to go to school if you want to, but you don't have to if you don't want to. And so we're in this space where everybody is out for yourself in Florida. And, you know, people who agree with this stuff are championing it online. People who don't are saying, you know, that's terrible. And kids are getting sick. And they will continue to get sick. It will get worse.
Yikes.
Yeah, it almost seems like the people governing Florida hate their jobs and are just trying to kill everyone so they don't
and
have to
people.
Have a job.
They hate people, too.
Yeah, they just don't want to do their – they're like, you know what would be great? Fewer people to be in charge of. It's just, you know, you don't have to work in government. You can work in something that's non-customer-facing, Ron. Brandy, have you seen – ways that it's possible for people who get caught up in this to get unstuck? Or is it sort of hopeless once somebody starts down the crunchy mom to alt-right or curious peruser of social media to alt-right pipeline? Like, how do they turn back around?
It's very difficult and rare. I think the come to Jesus moments are hard, because usually when it's a moment for that, when you're at that place, it's because something terrible has happened. You have lost someone or you have gotten very sick. And at that point, you sort of have to admit to yourself and others that you were terribly wrong. And that is a very, very difficult thing to do, to say either I was scammed, like I was scammed. I was wrong and I was a mark and I just got it wrong. And someone... or I have been hurt from it. So instead, you usually in these groups see a doubling down, which is a strange thing when sort of tragedy strikes or the harm becomes real. There, I've seen a couple of instances where people have had sort of a change of heart and gotten out of it. And almost always, it's been because of real-world relationships where people just kind of stood by them non-judgmentally and said, you know, oh, that's, I talked to a guy who was deep into QAnon, went to the steps on January 6th and didn't go in, but sort of went back that night and his family had an intervention. Even then that didn't work. And he was like deep into this stuff. And slowly but surely they, you know, they chatted, they went on long walks and he was like, okay, maybe you're right. Because those real world relationships and the care and the affection or whatever that you feel from these people can be bigger than the pull and the camaraderie that you have with folks online. But it's so rare and so sad that, like, I'm constantly on the lookout for formers to tell those stories, but they're rare.
Mm. So it's all of our problem now.
Yeah.
Brandi Zadrozny, thank you so much for joining us. This was super interesting. And congrats on becoming a campaign 2024 reporter.
Thank you so much.
From Christian spanking to climbing a mountain with a contender for the presidency. We're so glad you were able to stop by. Please come back again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty. If this interview sent you down some really uncomfortable Google rabbit holes that you are worried might have put you on a watch list, make sure to subscribe and share with your friends. Flood the zone, because every week is like this. This episode of Hysteria is brought to you by Vuori. Need the perfect Mother's or Father's Day gift? Check out Vuori Performance Apparel.
Drawing inspo from the coastal California lifestyle, Vuori's products inspire others to live vibrant, active lives.
I love that they're calling this the coastal California lifestyle. I will embrace that instead of what I thought it was, which was the I only want to wear comfortable clothes lifestyle.
Yeah.
I
refuse to be uncomfortable if I want to be productive.
I refuse to be uncomfortable, but sometimes I have to look like I belong in a respectable place lifestyle, which is like Vuori is perfect for it because the clothes look fantastic. They fit great. They are so comfortable. I lie down in mine all the time.
Especially, Erin, the women's performance joggers. They have a slim but relaxed fit and are designed with dream knit stretch fabric. I love my joggers.
I've slept in mine. I've slept in them.
Really? You don't get hot?
No. They're very, like, on a, it's like a couch nap. You know, you have like a, you've got like maybe a half an hour in the afternoon. You're like, ooh, I've got a like small break. I'm very tired. I'm going to just like lay down for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect for couch napping.
Joggers. I love the leggings. I can work out in them. I can do my errands in them. I can wear them with a proper top to a business meeting. It is not a problem.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you probably could. Just put a blazer and like
denim shirt. Denim shirt, blazer, leggings. So easy.
100%.
And of course, the men's core shorts. They have a classic athletic fit falling just above the knee, while the Sunday performance joggers are made from recycled performance stretch fabric.
I got my dad some men's core shorts. He wears them to mow the lawn.
It's perfect.
He is like, I think my dad is one of those people that just like beats the crap out of his clothes. He'll wear them until they look like a security blanket that a 30-year-old still has, where it's just like a ball of string, and you're like, ugh.
Our dads are the same.
Yeah, yeah. But my dad has had his for like a couple years now, and I think I saw him wearing them the other week when I met up with family on a short weekend trip, and they still looked great. I was like, Dad, your clothes still look new.
So fancy.
Vuori is offering Hysteria listeners 20% off your first purchase. Get some of the most comfy and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/hysteria. That's Vuori.com/hysteria. You'll also enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/hysteria and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
I live by routines, especially my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. Because when Sunday rolls around, I'm not scared. I got my shopper on the way with all my favorites. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
Before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. Sex is a public health issue, and I'm not just talking about the terrifying close-up photos of STDs we all had to look at health class. I had to look at those in church.
Did you really?
In CCD, yeah. It's the first time I ever saw genitalia was looking at pictures of STDs, and a woman with a really heavy North Dakota accent was trying to tell us that having sex outside of marriage could lead to, like, your genitals oozing. It was gross.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Anyway, what does it mean to have a healthy sex life? And why does the topic still make us squirm like we're back in high school?
On this week's America Dissected, Dr. Abdu Al-Sayed debunks the stigma around talking about sex and talks about forces that keep us from having a healthy, sex-positive perspective.
Then Emily Nagowski, New York Times bestselling author and sex educator, stops by to talk about how to reframe and rebuild long-term sexual relationships. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that will definitely be checking out Meghan Markle's new lifestyle website.
Erin,
she's Krusty the Clowning.
What is wrong with her?
She is Krusty the Clowning.
Who advises them? What the fuck? American Riviera Orchard is literally should be followed by made exclusively for TJ Maxx. Like, that is some weird towel collection. Like, there is what? And I had to Google it. I'm like, what the fuck is American Riviera anyway? Santa Barbara. Didn't know.
Yeah, I live in California, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't
also
know.
It reminds me of when Jack Donaghy in 30 Rock has his own brand of wine.
Yeah.
And it's, and it, like, it's undrinkable. It doesn't, and why launch the lifestyle brand while Kate Middleton is, like, missing and Charles has cancer.
God knows what.
And I mean, look, I get that they've, like, severed relationships from the royal family and stuff, but, like, I don't know. I think if she wanted to be shady, either she didn't want to be shady or she did. If she didn't want to be shady, this is, like, a weird timing. If she did, she should have done this the day after Easter.
When we understand Kate's being resurrected.
When we understand that Kate is being resurrected. I just think, like, when it comes to Meghan Markle versus the royals, I am always going to be on team Meghan. Always. Because the royals are a bunch of
fucking weirdos.
I'm
on no one's team. I'm more of a voyeur.
Okay. But the royals are a family of fucking weirdos.
Agree.
Who have deserved comeuppance for centuries. For centuries. Like, pilfered royal, like, jewels, like, crown jewels.
Oh, yeah.
Genocide-causing motherfucking inbred chinless pieces of shit. I can't wait. I love this. I love the comeuppance. I hope that the monarchy crumbles, and the only way that I'm like, okay, I'm fine with it, is if they appoint a child king.
Yes.
I want a boy king.
No, I want a girl. Let's make it Charlotte. I'm telling you, there's something about that little George that doesn't seem right. Like, I feel like we're going to find out someday that some small animals have lost their lives in his presence.
Yeah, somebody in that family is playing with matches in a way that's concerning. Possible bedwetting, matches, animal cruelty, dark triad. No, I want a child regent. I want a child to be crowned just so that we can all, like, bask in how ridiculous it is. You know, I think in some parts of the world, they have a belief in, like, a living god or goddess that is often selected to be a child. In Nepal, they have, like, this girl child goddess who lives in this, like, compound and you can come and stand in the courtyard and she comes out and like looks at people and everyone is like, yeah, I want that, but in England. I want that to be.
You know what? I feel like that would be lovely.
Better than what's going on now. And yeah, if you want to, if you're from the UK and you're a monarchist and you've made it this far in the story, hysteria at crooked.com, go ahead. Go ahead and send me a note. Okay, sanity corner / I feel petty. I mean, obviously, we're still extracting sanity from the absolute weirdness of what's happening with the royal family. Do you have anything additional, Alyssa, that you want to?
Not really. Say? I have a low key one. You know how we love Evan Kleinman from KCRW Good Food. We've had her on the show. She has a podcast up, Erin. I don't even know if it's my sanity or I just want to talk about it because I think you'd love it as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
The almost entire episode is about soil. And okay. I was like, I couldn't get enough. It was talking about making your soil perfect. It was basically like, we have all of these watch agencies out there, like EPA, and people care about water and people care about keeping things clean. But literally everything we need in life does come from dirt.
It's true.
And there's no like national watchdog for our soil or telling us how it is. And I have found this interesting because last week I talked about how I wanted to do a native meadow. And then I happened upon this episode and I was like, I really do need a native meadow. My dirt is being drained. Climate change is killing my dirt.
Yeah, so it's messing with the pH too.
Totally. 100%. Because hydrangeas are now a totally different color in my neighborhood than they used to be, which is a factor of different pH. But yeah, I just feel like we are assaulted by so much controversy whenever we turn around and things that are just terrible. And I found a lot of calm in the episode about soil.
Nice. I think I'd read a book about that.
Yeah, I think you would. And I think that you will be in your garden listening to this episode and you're going to be like, I'm into it.
I got to say that testing soil becomes a thing. Like once you get in, you're like,
I have a soil monitor.
Yeah, you're like, I think this plant died because the soil is too acidic, or I think it's like the soil is too basic. And like testing the soil with the little tubes and like waiting for it to change color and then like getting the stuff that you have to add to the soil that is like natural that will help with pH is
my holly tone.
It's a whole thing.
Do you know what's funny as we get older? You know, you have like these memories kind of come back. And I remember that for like the last 20 years of my Oma's life, every Mother's Day, we just used to give her bags of holly tone, and I never understood it until now because she just spent her Mother's Day fertilizing her evergreens and fruit bushes.
You got to.
You got to.
Let moms do what they want on Mother's Day, and if that means tooling around the yard, playing in the dirt, then
enjoy
God
yourself.
I've got like a kind of petty.
What's your petty?
So I'm going to read this report from the New York Daily News. It was reported pretty widely, but that's what I have up on my screen.
Okay.
So the New York Daily News reports, quote, an April 13th event honoring Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been canceled after the late Supreme Court Justice's family raised objections. Okay. I was like, okay, what are the objections to the gathering slate of award recipients, which include Elon Musk and Rupert Murdoch?
What was anybody thinking about this? This was crazy. I watched the interview with her son, and he was disgusted.
This was funny when it was a joke on Parks and Recreation, and Ron Swanson was being awarded Woman of the Year. it's not funny when, like, and Ron Swanson is not, like, a virulent misogynist or, like, who, like, says that birth control pills make you fat. I don't know. Maybe Elon Musk's head is on birth control pills because somehow his face keeps getting smaller, but his head keeps getting fatter.
I don't know.
How does that
happen? It's like a balloon in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Old man fat head syndrome is a problem. It's a problem, and I feel like maybe if Ruth Bader Ginsburg had addressed it when she was alive, it would know. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg's Leadership Award was established in 2019, according to the Daily News, shortly before she died. But past recipients included. So it's not like this. Okay, this award has gone historically to people who you're like, okay, that makes sense. Barbara Streisand, Diane von Furstenberg, Queen Elizabeth II. Not my favorite people, although I did see Diane von Furstenberg yell at Andrew Cuomo one time, and it was very funny.
Oh, I bet that would be good.
It was very, very funny. She did not give a fuck that there were a lot of other people in the room. She did yell at him in front of the entire crowd. But yeah, this awards ceremony has been canceled. And because Ginsburg's family was like, this sucks.
Aaron, did they just cancel the event or have they had her name permanently removed from the prize? Does it say?
I don't see.
I wasn't sure because anything I read had not mentioned it. So I didn't know if the ye olde New York papers had it.
No, the statement from her family said that the people in charge of the award had strayed far from the original mission of the award and from what Justice Ginsburg stood for. Fair point. The people who gave out the award were like, we didn't even think about the politics of this.
What? Yeah. It's not politics. It's common sense.
Yeah.
Frank, like, I mean, truly, why does Rupert Murdoch need an award, by the way? Like,
the whole, like, gala award-giving scene, New York, London, whatever, that whole, like,
yeah,
like, rich people licking each other's taints thing, it is literally just to, it's like a Facebook poke between the ultra wealthy. They're just trying to like, hey, I remember we like you. If you have any money, you might want to give us some money.
A total swerving sidebar right now because you just said taint. How about the fact that on Nickelodeon, Amanda Bynes' character was Penelope Taint? Sorry, I was like, oh my God.
And none of the kids were allowed to know what taint meant. Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with kids knowing what taint means as long as they know not to yell it at the dinner table.
Right.
I think.
Or like call their sister taint.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. But anyway, yeah, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg event has been canceled. Honestly, my hope for the outcome of this is that her ghost decides to haunt the people at the foundation who decided to make.
Please do.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Alyssa?
Nah, I think that's it.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. If you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. We love you guys. You're the best. You're
yes.
The smartest.
The very smartest.
With the coolest jobs and the most interesting questions. So we love hearing from you. Thank you to Brandi Zadrozny for stopping by and chatting with us about mis- and disinformation. Mm. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die. And listeners, thanks to you, there will be more Hysteria next week.
Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Fiona Pestana is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Megan Patzel. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolate, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.
We're not shy to talk about health on Hysteria, but to keep up to speed on all the latest health information, there's the TED Health Podcast. Join host Shoshana Ungerleiter as she introduces you to leading health experts that will break down the questions you didn't know you had.
Will eating a plant-based diet make you healthier? How does your neighborhood impact your health? How will medical treatments change in the future? Learn all this and more on TED Health. Find TED Health wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys, who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.